Welcome, everybody. It is week two of the Rutgers Football Podcast. It is presented by RWJ Barnabas Health, the official healthcare provider of Rutgers Athletics. I'm Chris Carlin, and what an incredible week one it was. A 38-27 win over Michigan State on the road for the Scarlet Knights. A great way to open Greg Schiano's second tenure on the Banks. And as always, we welcome in my partner, Eric LeGrand. And boy, Eric, you could not have been happier with what transpired this past Saturday up in East Lansing. I don't know if the Scarlet Knights could have drawn it up any better.
And they really couldn't have. And of course, everyone had them out and losing and not expecting what we saw on Saturday. But the Scarlet Knights are a different team now. I've been harping on it. I've been saying it since Coach was hired. They're going to be smarter. They're going to be more disciplined. They're going to cause turnovers. And you can just see it finally for the first time in a long time, Chris. I can say I watched that game and Rutgers imposed their will on another opponent in the Big Ten. It's been a while. It's been a while, Chris.
Well, let's talk about that. On the line of scrimmage, you really had an offensive line that I think played pretty well. And at the same time, you had some dominant performances on the defensive line, especially from the interior from Julius Turner.
Absolutely. So going on the offensive side first, which I think is cool about this, you know, just talking, you know, to some coaches and stuff, they say that they can get a lot better. Like once you watch the film and you see what actually happened, you know, to what happened in the game, it's always not as good as you think. And it's always not as bad as you think. They said there's so much room for improvement and to be able to put up 38 points, and I know they had a lot of turnovers in short fields, but we also saw that they can sustain long drives and score touchdowns. There's so much more room for improvement, and they're only going to get better the more that they play with each other, you know, as long as they stay healthy. And I'm excited about that. Now, going to the defensive side, I know what it's like playing in that defense. On the defensive line, you control the game. You control your gaps. You have to be able to get knocked back, but also being able to stay in your gap and shoot those gaps and not get reach blocked. When you stay in your gap, the linebackers and safeties have an easier time of flowing down, and every hole is filled. And when every hole is filled, that's when you see all those tackles for loss. I believe they had 10 tackles for loss, Chris.
And 12, to be sure, and 12. Even more. Yeah, even better. And Eric, you know, let's stay with the defense for a moment. You look at a guy like Olakunle Fadakasi, Defensive Player of the Week in the Big Ten, Co-Defensive Player of the Week in the Big Ten, with a couple of fumble recoveries, a forced fumble, 10 tackles. You saw the impact of experience on the defensive side as well as experience as they are in the secondary, and adding a guy like Brendan White back there, who we talked to last week on the podcast. Well, you really saw the impact that he can make when you add him to Avery Young and to Trey Avery on the corners, in addition to Christian Izzian and Larry Stevens.
Absolutely. As I'm sitting there watching this defense, knowing the plays that are coming and seeing the blitz packages and things of that nature, all those players were playing their role. They knew exactly where they had to be and what in each formation. And that's when you saw a lot of the sacks. You saw a lot of the negative plays. You saw the interceptions that we haven't seen in forever. But the best part about this, Chris, is it was 11 hats to the ball. Everyone swarming. You know, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, these guys are getting fumbles in this. But there's a process to it. It's first man in secures the tackle, second man in strip. And you see all these guys, as soon as they see the tackle secure, pop, pop, ripping, punching at the ball, putting your head, hitting your head with the ball, biting the ball. It's just like this magically happened. This is the tackling circuit, all the stuff that I've been telling you guys about that they practice day in and day out, that it's finally getting a show in the game.
You know, offensively, Eric, I thought perhaps the most impressive aspect of it was Noah Vedral engineering a drive toward the end of the game that was a put-the-game-away type drive. The touchdown pass to Shamin Jones. Rutgers remained aggressive. They did not sit back and try to just run the clock out. It was, let's go for the jugular. And from Sean Gleason, boy, that was a heck of a debut as Rutgers offensive coordinator.
Yeah, easily could have just, like you said, just tried to run the clock. I believe they're up at 11 at that point. They could have just tried to run the ball, run the clock, get back on defense, and try not to give up 12 points so they don't lose, you know. But no, they put the gas on and said, let's really put this game in the bag here. And I love the aggressive play call. And I believe it was right after a muff punt. They got the ball back and they were able to go down there and score points. But Noah, how about him orchestrating that offense, Chris? being able to show his feet, obviously on one play. I love what Sean Gleason designed. He motioned out Isaiah Pacheco out of the backfield to the open side of the field. So you think that that ball's going to go there because there's so much room. And then you come back with a little counter with the QB, little power, right up the up the sideline. Truly amazing. But also throwing the ball. It was pretty accurate. You know, a few errant throws here and there, but not like what we're used to seeing. More accurate, more precise, knowing where the ball is going, those little 5-yard slant routes to pick up first downs and converting on third down, Chris. They convert on third down twice on that opening drive to score a touchdown. That's huge. People don't forget about that. Converting on third down and not having to go three and out, you know what I mean? And punching. Those third down conversions go a long way.
That opening drive really set the tone for the day for Rutgers going 75 yards. Eric, what impressed you the most about Noah Vedral?
I think it was his poise. He didn't see the game didn't seem bigger than him. He seemed like a seasoned vet out there. He didn't get rattled. He was able to stay, you know, on times where he had to go running like crazy because, you know, he didn't have the protection that he needed. He made the right decisions, either throwing the ball away, picking up a few yards, or even that one, and I believe it was the opening drive when that 3rd and 18 when he had to scroll back and throws it up to Bo Melton, and Bo Melton makes an amazing catch. Stuff like that, it just never seemed like he was rattled or the game was bigger than the whole moment. And that's what you need from a veteran who's played at UCF, played at Nebraska, and now he's here at Rutgers. He knows what it's like to play big-time football.
And now you've seen the impact, you know, talking about Bo Melton and Jones, how Tyquan Underwood's already having a very positive effect. That adjustment that Melton made, frankly, is just something that he had not really excelled at his first few years.
Yeah, I know we're used to, you know, we would have probably just seen him keep on running instead of adjusting back to the ball and then looking back at the quarterback and the quarterback looking at him like to do this and do that. You know, we've seen that too much. But no, he saw that the ball was this way. He was able to, okay, this should, you know, turn his head back the other way. And the DB was completely lost because the DB kept on running that way. That's the stuff that you need to do. You may become your quarterback's best friend, and then the quarterback is your best friend. It works vice versa. So it was really, really good to see that finally coming out of Bo Melton. And I'm sure we're going to see a lot more from him this year because no matter, you know, he may not have panned out these first 3 years that we wanted to him to be, he still has that explosion. And in a strong Gleason offense, I think we'll be able to see that a lot more.
You know, Eric, this may be a bit of an obvious question, but it seemed like through the course of the game, even when there was the possibility of the momentum shifting toward Michigan State once or twice, boy, that mentality of Chop really made its way through and was present throughout the course of the day.
It sure did. When they got, they had those like back-to-back turnovers, I believe it was the muff punt. And then, you know, and it was an interception. I forget exactly what it was, but Michigan State scored on the very next play. It was 28-20. And you can sit there like, here we go. You look at the clock, you're like, there's still a whole lot of time on this clock. But no, Rutgers was able to get in field goal range on the next drive and be able to kick a field goal. And then from there, as we said, they had to pump back to Michigan State the next possession. But they were able to get the ball, and then they scored again. They chop, chop, chop every play, and they're trained for chaos. They're trained for these moments. So, like I said, the game was never too big for them. And this just goes to show what the Greg Schiano effect has on these players. Being up and not being able to hold them back, uh-oh, we just got to hold on now. No, we're going to continue to fight and continue to run our offense, run our defense. We know our plays. We know where we have to be, our responsibilities. That's what they did, a 60-minute chop.
Well, in moments, we'll talk to the head coach about that win and about getting ready for Indiana this coming week. And, of course, your questions for head coach Greg Schiano as well. Stay with us. This is the Rutgers Football Podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health, the official healthcare provider of Rutgers Athletics.
A very important message from RWJ Barnabas Health. Our emergency departments are safe and ready to care for you. If you or someone in your household is experiencing symptoms of a heart attack or stroke, call 911 and do not hesitate to go to the closest emergency department. Fast intervention is crucial in heart attacks and strokes, so please don't ignore the signs. It could save your life. RWJ Barnabas Health. Let's be healthy together.
Terrific week one for the Scarlet Knights as they knock off Michigan State. And of course, it is time to talk to the head coach on the Rutgers Football Podcast, Greg Schiano. It's brought to you by RWJ Barnabas Health, official healthcare provider of Rutgers Athletics and New Jersey's most comprehensive health system. To learn more, visit rwjbh.org. Let's be healthy together. Coach, What impressed you the most about your team this past Saturday?
Well, I really enjoyed the way that they approached the game, whether good things happened or bad things happened, the way they carried themselves. You know, and there was a point in that game where it felt like it was slipping away a little bit there in the second half. It was an 8-point game and they were driving. And, you know, they just kept playing, right? We say they just kept chopping. And that's a good lesson learned. You know, we're going to have our ups and downs throughout the season, but we do have to just keep chopping and stay focused on that spot on the tree and just keep swinging that axe.
Coach, just a couple of more on the game this past week. Number one, Noah Vedral in his first start with Rutgers. What did you like the most about his performance?
I think his command of the offense. I mean, there's a throw he'd like to have back, I'm sure. There's some reads he'd like to have back, but you know, he used both his legs and his arm. And I think the thing that he used his most was his brain. He did a great job of running the offense. And that's what a quarterback in this system needs to do.
7 turnovers, but as you referred to them on Monday, 7 takeaways. Your defense was exceptionally aggressive in trying to strip the football free. They came up with it. Just one of those things, Coach, that I know how much you stress in practice, and it's an abnormally large number, there's no doubt, but it has to be encouraging for you to help deliver that message as to just how important it is to try in every instance to get the football away.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And that, you know, when you look at stats that tie to winning, net turnover margin is probably, if not the biggest, one of the biggest. So that's our goal, right, is to take the ball away from the other team at least 3 times a game. That's hard to do. And, you know, when you have a game like Saturday, you feel like, oh, just take the ball away. But it's hard to get the ball away from the other team. The other side of the turnover margin is that you take care of the football when you have it, right? Because what matters to winning and losing a game is the net turnover margin. So you obviously have to take it away, but you got to protect the ball as well. And when you talk about playing complementary football, it's all 3 phases that you either take it away or you protect it, depending on what side you're on.
03, Olakunle Vaitekasi, named co-defensive player of the week, 10 tackles. He also had a forced fumble, 2 fumble recoveries, was all over the place. We've watched this guy develop over the last couple of years, but it seems as if he's playing at a whole new level right now.
You know, it's one game. So we're not going to get too overzealous here, but he played well. He played hard. He played smart, but he's been practicing that way. You know, we have a saying around here, practice is everything. And it really is. If you told me before the game that 03 was going to have a great game, I would say, yeah, I expect him to. He's practiced really well. The key is, are you going to be able to do that week in and week out? You know, getting ready for Michigan State, we had 2 Tuesdays, 2 Wednesdays, and 2 Thursdays. Those are in football terms. Certain things you do on a Tuesday, certain things you do on a Wednesday, certain things you do on a Thursday. Well, we had 2 of them. Now, for the next however many weeks, we only get 1 Tuesday, 1 Wednesday, and 1 Thursday. And if you don't have a good day, there's no getting it back. You can't, there's no do-overs. And it's critical that you build, you know, when you build your game plan for the week, you build those practices each day to get you ready for that game.
So much is talked about with the chop and being in adversity. And being in a situation where you're trying to put the last play behind you and focus on the moment. But the reverse side that maybe people don't realize as much is when you have success, you have to be able to do the exact same thing. And I would imagine that's a big theme this week for you.
Well, you're right, Chris, in prosperity and adversity, right? They're two polar opposites. But the reality is they're equally as destructive if you let them be. So we've talked briefly about that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. I just told them the facts, you know, all the adulation, all the congratulatory texts. And, you know, nowadays with social media, that, you know, that's a fickle friend and it's a 6-day cycle. You know, what you need to be comfortable with and feel contentment in is how hard did you play? How hard did you chop? How well did you prepare? Those are the things that you got to find your peace in. Winning and losing can be an elusive thing, but your preparation and the way you play the game on game day, those are in your control. And that's what we talk about a ton.
Coach, in a situation like this, as a head coach, when do you normally feel like you know the identity of your football team and your experience? And how much does that timeline get altered by what we've gone through here by the pandemic?
It certainly gets altered. Training camp, as you know, I've said this over and over, training camp is a unique time for every football team, because especially in college, there is absolutely nothing else going on. Whereas in college football, all the rest of the year, there's classes that they're responsible for. And that's a huge responsibility when you're at an institution like Rutgers, where it's academically very challenging. So we missed out on that time when it was just football. And the reason it's so important is you go out and you practice, you walk through, you have meetings, then you have video study, and then you go back and walk through again. And it's sun up to, you know, when you have a snack at 9 o'clock at night, that they're doing that all the whole time. And that's how you really make progress. But everybody had the same restrictions this year in our league. So you have to figure out how to best navigate and get your team ready. So, you know, we're on to week two now, and it'll be interesting to see how we perform and how things go on game day.
And the 9 o'clock at night snacks don't exactly work out too well for me, Coach. I can't speak for anybody else.
when you're burning about 15,000 calories a day, they need a snack. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
No, neither am I.
Coach, one more. Just the versatility that seems to exist on your offensive line right now. You seem to feel comfortable moving guys around if you need to. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's not by choice, though, Chris. Just so we're on the same page. That's not. I'd like to have 5 or 6 guys that, you know, are very set in the position, and we are definitely sure. But a lot of it is trying to figure out what the best combination is right now, because it's not always who's best at what position. It's who's the best 5. How do they work best together? And who's in what position? So we're working through that, and I have a feeling that's going to be a little while. But I don't mind that 7 or 8 guys play, because in this COVID era especially, you never know, right, what could happen. You could be down guys like that. Plus, you know, I think when players know they're going to play, not think they're going to play, when they know they're going to play, I think it's human nature to prepare just slightly different, even though we'd like to say that, you know, they prepare the same way. When you know you're going to be out there, I think it does put a little more urgency to you.
We'll answer your questions for the coach when we return. This is the Rutgers Football Podcast, presented by RWJ Barnabas Health, the official healthcare provider of Rutgers Athletics.
RWJ Barnabas Health Telemed allows you to see a doctor anytime without coming in. For urgent care or to schedule a virtual appointment with an RWJ Barnabas Health Medical Group provider, visit rwjbh.org/telemed. Your safety is our top priority, and we've taken every precaution. So don't delay your care. Get started at rwjbh.org/telemed. RWJ Barnabas Health. Let's be healthy together.
Coach Yano joins us to answer your questions. You can tweet your questions to us each and every week with the hashtag RFootballPodcast. Coach, first up, Steve. How strange was it to play the first game of the year on October 24th and in an empty stadium?
Well, there's nothing normal about 2020, right? So it's almost become the norm is strangeness. So you just kind of rolled with it, you know, and it is October 24th. You know, you think about your first game and usually coaching in shorts and not on game day, but up until it. But, you know, the other day I had a big jacket on. It was that chilly, you know, just little things like that. Now the empty stadium was a little strange, right? I mean, you take the field and there's absolutely nothing, but you know what? I really enjoyed our team's enthusiasm. Everybody that was on, we had 170 people on the trip, and every single person was pulling in one direction, and it was really cool.
Coach Doug wants to know, has Coach Underwood brought back the man hands practice for the wide receivers, referring to catching the ball close up from the jugs machine?
Yeah, they do a whole bunch of things. He's got the rice going, the rice buckets where they got to dig their hands through to strengthen their hands. He's got Taekwon is really, really, I think, a special young coach. And I enjoy watching him, not only with his technical expertise, but with his relationships with his players.
Coach Jaws wants to know, which offensive lineman were you most impressed with last week?
That's not fair. Jaws is asking a question that I'm not sure I can answer that right now. But I do know this. when we play with physicality, when we know what we're doing and we really fire off the ball, we have a chance to be pretty good. It's when we kind of play with a lack of physicality, or we play with any kind of hesitancy, you know, we drop right through. We go from good, we go right past average, and we go to poor. So we need to play sure. We need to play tough. We need to play physical to have a chance to be good.
Mark Minter wants to know, we've heard all about and now seen the impact of personnel added through the transfer portal, but can you provide some insight as to a player or players who made significant improvement that were already on the roster and the impact of adding Jay Butler and other coaches, their role in that?
Well, I think we've improved a great deal, every person in this program. And, you know, I don't like when I read sometimes new coaches that take a program over and they say, well, when I get my guys in here, you know, we're really going to get this thing straightened out. You know, these are my guys. Everybody who is on the team right now are my guys. Now, there's been plenty of left, you know, and as I tell people all the time, our program is not for everybody. Thank God it isn't, right? Thank God that we have something that, you know, is very challenging and very isn't for everybody. But those young men that chose to go through what we do and stay with the program, they're all my guys. And I think they've all improved. I could tell you, honestly, I don't know there's one guy who hasn't really improved significantly. And you hit the nail on the head, not only in a football perspective, but when you talk about strength and conditioning with Jay Butler and his staff, they look different. They do. They have traps. Our glutes are popping out, you know, and as a head coach, you kind of look at that stuff, right? It sounds a little weird, but I'm telling you now, when you start to see those muscles that they didn't have all of a sudden show, that means we're making progress.
Brandon wants to know, what's the difference in developing players this time around and past players that made the biggest strides from freshman to senior year during your first day?
Not much. There's not much difference at all. I think we have better technology to communicate. I know we do. Better technology for them to take notes, better technology for us to communicate, better technology to watch tape at your convenience. But as far as the nuts and bolts of improving players, it's you know, three areas: physical, mental, and emotional. And we need to work on all three of them constantly.
Last one from Scoshi. Coach, what challenges are you anticipating facing the Indiana offense with Penix, with an up-tempo pace, Stevie Scott? What concerns you about their Indiana's defense?
Well, they're a really good football team. Obviously, they're 17th in the country. They just knocked off Penn State. But this isn't an overnight deal, right? Kevin Wilson started this climb at Indiana, and then Coach Allen took over for him, and he's really just continued it, changed some things the way they do them, but I mean, the program has been on a steady ascension, and they are really a good team now. I mean, they are really good. I don't really look at them and say, they have a weakness here or there. They don't really have many weaknesses. They may not be the best in the Big Ten in every department, but they have no weaknesses. And that, to me, is a tough team to beat, right? Everything from kicking game to offense to defense. You mentioned a few guys. I think Penix is a really one of the leading up-and-coming quarterbacks in our league. I think that number one, the receiver is as good as there is in our league. The running back that I guess I didn't know this, but was first committed to Rutgers a while back, number eight, he's a good running back. Right? Defensively, 40, I think it's 47, really good linebacker, downhill guy, 23 at corner, 98 on the defensive line. I mean, there's a lot of really good players. There's some really elite players, and then there's a lot of really good players that surround them on that football team, and they have really good team speed. So it'll be a great challenge, one that our team is certainly working hard to prepare for. And, you know, again, like I said last week, you work and prepare as hard as you can, and then you let the chips fall where they may. And we're willing to do that. You know, as I tell them, as long as you do everything you can in your preparation, you should have no regrets.
Coach, best of luck this week. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate you.
We'll have more in a moment. This is the Rutgers Football Podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health, the official healthcare provider of Rutgers Athletics.
A very important message from the Bristol-Myers Squibb Children's Hospital at Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital, an RWJ Barnabas Health facility. Our pediatric emergency department has taken all safety precautions and is ready to care for your children. From bike accidents to unexplained pains, we're here to help them feel better. If your child needs treatment, please don't delay emergency care. Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital. Let's be healthy together.
Aaron Young is a young man that has already come on the banks that has made an impact on the Rutgers offense. He, of course, is also the younger brother of Avery Young. We'll get into it all as we learn about number four. He joins us here on the Rutgers Football Podcast, brought to you by RWJ Barnabas Health, official healthcare provider of Rutgers Athletics. Aaron, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I can't complain. I'm alive, so.
Well, Aaron, first of all, had to feel great to get a win last week. Just the celebration and only that, but then the turnaround response of the team this week. What have you seen from this team in preparing to move on for Indiana this coming week?
From the win, the guys are all excited. First Big Ten win. Can't beat that, but we had the chop, and we know this week's a big week for us, so gotta move on. Once it hit Sunday, we knew that the clock started for the next week, so just gotta get ready and prepare.
Yeah, just to take us into that locker room, Aaron. You know, you get to celebrate that moment and, you know, get on a plane and you come back home and then you turn that clock on to, you know, to enjoy, you know, you enjoy that time, but then Sunday starts a new day. Take that, what it's like for a player, you know, for the fans who may not know, what it's like after the locker room, after the game, then coming home, enjoying that moment, but then having a refresh and turn on to, you know, focusing on Indiana.
I mean, the first thing you got to do really is get your body right. After the game, you know, it's a quick transition to the next week. And then you got to get your mindset right as well, because going into the next game, is you got to chop. And whatever you do, you just got to be ready, prepared for the next week and the next game, have the team going forward, moving past the win, because you got to win again the next week.
Aaron, tell us about your family, about growing up in Coatesville, Pennsylvania, and when you started to fall in love with sports and when you fell in love with football.
My family, I have two older brothers. One's here, Avery Young. I have another older brother named Jordan Young at Old Dominion. He plays football as well. So they kind of showed me the ropes since I'm younger than them. They showed me the ropes, and I kind of just followed their footsteps, and they fell in love with the game. I was always right next to them, right behind them, playing the game right with them. So it's always been like a kind of a family thing. So,
and as you just mentioned, a family thing, you had the opportunity to, you know, to choose multiple places to go to. I know at one point it might could have been Michigan State, but you decided to come here and play with your brother at Rutgers. What is that like for yourself and your family, knowing that you two are both here together playing with each other? And yeah, just what does that do for, I guess, your feeling between, you know, the brotherhood of yourself and your brother?
I mean, so my dad's from Jersey. My grandma lives in Jersey still. So, I mean, they can't beat that. It's only 1:30 away from my home. They love coming down. They love seeing us. They love seeing us on TV. And they love it. I love it too. It's a great family feel. I knew I loved it as soon as I got here.
Tell us about not only playing with your brother, but also playing against your brother. You know, in practices, you guys get that opportunity. What's that like? Is it a hyper-competitive situation? Is there a lot of talk that goes on? Tell me about that.
I mean, it's definitely competitive. The guys on the team always try to hype it up, as usual. it's a brother thing. They always try to hype it up, but I enjoy it. He gets the best out of me. He gets the best out of me. I get the best out of him.
I was going to ask, when Chris brought that up, hype it up. Who would you say talks more? Is it Avery or Aaron? Who's the one who talks the most junk, and who's the one that's more, you know, relaxed and laid back?
For the most part, I would probably say we're both relaxed and laid back, but if I'm the mad one in the situation, I'll probably talk more.
You know, Aaron, you're a guy that can do a lot of different things offensively, whether it's running the football, whether it's catching the football. You're such a versatile weapon. When did that versatility in your game start to emerge? Was it in high school? Was it even before that?
I would say it started when I was little. My dad got me going. First, it started with blocking. He said you can't do anything. You can't run. You can't catch unless you know how to block. So it started with that. And then got me and Avery all catching the ball and running. So we learned it all at a young age. I'm thankful for him to be able to teach me those lessons.
That's awesome. And then being in a room with, you know, that running back room, with a guy like Isaiah Pacheco, you know what he brings to the table each and every week, a tough, hard-nosed type of running back. What kind of mentor has he been into you? I know you guys are only maybe like a year or two apart, but what type of a mentor has he been for you since you got on the banks?
I would say since I kind of came in on Avery's visits all the time, we got to meet him right away, and we kind of clicked. So it was just like he was already a brother to me, and we always help each other out when we need something in the room. Just it's a good vibe within the room. Even all the other guys, we all help each other out. So he's a good mentor.
All right, I want to have a little bit of fun with you here. I've been asking this question for a few years now. You know, we got to know about you, your family situation, but what is Aaron Young's go-to restaurant here in New Brunswick? Where are you ordering your takeout from, or where are you going to pick up stuff? Where is it at here? What are you eating? Where at?
Go-to, I would say, Diesel and Duke's.
That's the spot.
What about your free time, Aaron? Are you a guy that loves to watch a lot of TV? Do you play video games? What's your kind of your go-to?
When I had the time, I watched TV, but for the most part, just chilling with some guys on the team, a couple guys I'm close with, and then I got the luxury of having a brother here, so that's helpful too. He's showing me a lot of stuff that I don't know about on campus, but most of the time it's homework and school and preparing for the next game. So
I was going to say, through this all, how has your discipline had to show the most, you know, going through this whole COVID-19? And just staying focused on the task at hand.
The most thing, time management is the key for right now. It's hard with the online school, I would say, to have everything laid out and a plan for all your whole day. But you gotta get through it. And then with football too, it's hard to manage your time. But I've been doing my best to do that, and the staff helps a lot, so I'm thankful for that.
Our last one for you, Aaron. What made Rutgers the right spot for you?
Just the bond that I got when I got here. I felt that family atmosphere, and having a brother here, you can't beat that. Close to home. That's really what it came down to.
Well, Aaron, listen, we appreciate your time, continued success, and looking forward to more and more of you on the field this year. Thanks again for a few minutes.
No problem.
Aaron Young, Rutgers running back and receiver, joining us on the Rutgers Football Podcast. Derek and I will come back to preview the matchup with Indiana in just moments. It is the Rutgers Football Podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health, the official healthcare provider of Rutgers Athletics.
A very important message from RWJ Barnabas Health. Our emergency departments are safe and ready to care for you. If you or someone in your household is experiencing symptoms of a heart attack or stroke, call 911 and do not hesitate to go to the closest emergency department. Fast intervention is crucial in heart attacks and strokes, so please don't ignore the signs. It could save your life. RWJ Barnabas Health. Let's be healthy together.
Great visiting with Aaron Young, Rutgers' very versatile weapon on offense as the Scarlet Knights get ready for Indiana, the number 17th ranked team in the country. It is Chris Carlin and Eric LeGrand back on the Rutgers Football Podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health, official healthcare provider of Rutgers Athletics. So let's talk about this matchup. First of all, Eric, Indiana is coming in off of an incredibly emotional win, no doubt. You saw Tom Allen being aggressive at the end of the game, going for two in the first overtime on the very first opportunity he had to try to go win the game, and it paid off. Michael Penix Jr. made an amazing play, but nonetheless, that was one where Indiana certainly got a lot of emotion invested into that game, and you wonder what the fallout is from that moving forward.
Hey, you wonder what the fallout is, you know, if you're going to come out, lay an egg, or they're going to use that to build off of it. And Tom Allen is one hell of a coach. I'm talking about putting confidence in your offense right then and there. You can easily kick the field goal and, you know, let's line up and play again and try to get a stop and then score on the next position. But he said, no, it's either we're going to win or lose right here and there. And he put it in the hand of his quarterback. And he was able to go out there and make that play. Penix Jr. is a special, special player. And on the defensive side, they also could play very good defense. So, you know, they're big. They're actually very big. I loved hearing Coach Shiano talk about Tom Allen this week in his press conference. He knows exactly what he did, that method of going down using that those roots down in Tampa that he was able to recruit some players from Florida, bring them up there to Indiana, develop them, create a toughness in their program, and now they're very respectable.
All right, so let's talk about what Rutgers needs to do now here moving forward. We heard Coach talk about the penalties, some things that need to get cleaned up. What are the things that, coming out of this past week, you look at that need the most improvement?
Oh, the most improvement, listen, I know the O-line played great. They played good. I think they can play great. I really do. To see what they were able to do with, you know, just playing decent some plays, you know, missing blocks, you know, it's going to happen in the first game. I think they can get better. And that's, it's cliche to say, but it's going to be one on the line of scrimmage this week when it comes to Rutgers offense versus Indiana's defense. Their front seven, they can get after it a little bit on Indiana's side. They're strong, big guys. Let's see if Rutgers can continue to move these people out the way and get, you know, Isaiah Pacheco and Aaron Rung the ball to be able to do what they do, unless if they can protect them long enough for their veteran quarterback, Noah, to make the right decisions down the field. So, like I said, it's going to be one on the line of scrimmage when it comes to the offense and the Rutgers offense versus Indiana's defense.
Look, seven takeaways is a big number, and you can't expect that every week, especially considering Rutgers hadn't done that in 20 years. But if you're able to take it away a couple of times, keep it in the positive side, that's always a good thing. Eric, just operating under the assumption that seven's not going to be that number again, what does the offense have to do to continue that consistency? You touched on it there a little bit more, but take me a little bit more in depth on the run game and on the pass game.
Yeah, so they're going to have to be able to convert more long drives like we saw in that first possession of the game. Like you said, you're not going to be able to have a short field every single time you get the ball. We're going to have to see more sustainability, and we're also going to have to see some connections deep. They tried it. They tried a few shots down the field, but they didn't. There was to no conversion of it. We're playing in the Big Ten. You're going to need those splash plays. It is hard to drive up and down the field with 4-yard plays, 3-yard plays, you know, 6-yard plays. You're going to need those 15 to 25 plus yard plays down the field, which I really think they're struggling to have to work on. Getting enough separation in that time and then actually going up there and making the catch. That's going to be what needs to be improved on the most if they want to be successful with now thinking that they're going to have 7 turnovers every game.
Eric, what kind of an impact can the start of last week have on the minds of recruits? You know, Coach Chiano and his staff have been out there and have done an amazing job so far, but to see some early results, how can that affect recruits?
Huge. You know, after watching that and seeing Rutgers actually being talked about now by Kirk Herbstreit and the media, recruits' eyes are like, oh, what just happened? It's an eye-opener. Listen, you know, let's not try to, you know, hide behind it. No, it's an eye-opener for these recruits. They're saying, wow, he did that in this offseason. That's the first game. That's what they came out and did. Now say they can, you know, they can continue that and beat Indiana this week. Recruits are like, okay, we have to actually like take this seriously. This man is on a mission. He's on a plane. He knows what he's doing, and he stands by his words. Let's start paying a lot more attention to this Rutgers football team. I believe that Coach Chiano's going to do that.
Well, I know that we would much rather have everybody at the stadium on Saturday and tailgating, especially the tailgating, but also the incredible support. They can't be there, but by all means, be with us. It's a 3:30 kick. It's Rutgers and Indiana. Eric, Ray, myself, Fooch on the call, in addition to Mark Malusis and Julian Penix-Odrick on Rutgers. Countdown to kickoff beginning at 2:30. And, of course, the game will be on BTN on TV at 3:30. Eric, good stuff. Looking forward to Saturday and hopefully talking about another Rutgers win next week.
I can't wait. I'm all giddy over here. You can't take me off my cloud 9, Chris, from Saturday. Not until 3:30 this Saturday.
Absolutely. We'll look forward to it, and we'll see you then. Thanks so much for tuning in to week 2 of the Rutgers Football Podcast, presented by RWJ Barnabas Health, the official healthcare provider of Rutgers Athletics.